So I think it's important just for us to connect this verse to Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 27, that we know that these things are not of men. So most of us are familiar with the conversion of the Apostle Paul, because he goes into his manner of life, that as a Jew, that he was zealous for the law. Even at the stoning of Stephen, they laid the clothes of Stephen at the feet of the Apostle Paul. Then he was traveling to Damascus with letters to persecute Christians of the church, when the Lord Jesus struck him down with a light that was brighter than the noonday sun. But in Acts chapter 26, I just want to turn us so that we connect this to what he's saying. In verse 20 and verse 14, where he heard a voice speaking unto him in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the goads. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus. This is the ascended Lord Jesus. But he gives him his name, Jesus, after his earthly experience. It's the one who was crucified. It's the one that he is kicking against. I'm Jesus who you persecute. And then he says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them who are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is connected to the revelation of which he speaks. In the book of Ephesians, he says that he is the minister of the mystery of the church. Things that were hidden before the foundation of the world, given to this man who was a Jew, who knew what it was like to try to uphold the law. In fact, he says in the book of Philippians that concerning the law, he was blameless. I mean, that's quite a statement to say. When the word of God says, if you err or you break one, you've broken them all. And it's to this man that God brings to his nothingness to make him a minister, to give to him the revelation of the gospel of the grace of God. And it's that gospel, the teachings that he delivered to the Galatian saints. So he takes us back to reminding us what he once was. To say, listen, this is not a game. And you know, young people, I want to tell us, this is reality. I mean, this is a spiritual warfare that we're in. And the men that are coming in that would pervert the gospel, you know what their purpose is? To overthrow the faith of some, to cause us to stumble, to weigh us down from the liberty that we ought to have. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, they want to attack me. He says, I receive this from the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he speaks of the breaking of bread, and I think there's another place, he says, that which I have received of the Lord, I deliver unto you. That statement means in English, a one word, verbatim. The same way the Lord Jesus said it to me, verbatim, I have given it to you. And so if you deviate from this, or someone comes and presents another gospel, let them be a curse. And young people, we don't go out after these things, no matter how wonderful they may sound and how cute. And, you know, you look at some of the religious systems with all of their music and all of their garb and all of the piped organs and the incense. It's another gospel. And we hold on to that which was delivered to us.
Revelations that God gave to Paul. Write them down. Let's write this down, okay? Here's the first. Here's the gospel. It is revelation. It is not hearsay. It is not pass on. It was given by revelation.
That's an end. Write them down.
What is the second one? Tony mentioned it. The mystery. Never known in the Old Testament. No such thing as the assembly of God in the Old Testament. I come to the New Testament and Jew and Gentile is a thing of the past and that we're all one in Christ. And so we have Ephesians 3, the mystery there of Christ and his assembly. And then how about the Lord coming for you and I? Okay, from 1 Thessalonians 4. There again, it is by revelation that these things were made known to the apostle. How about the change? Again, in 1 Corinthians 15, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How about the supper setting? 1 Corinthians 11. Again, these are things that God gave to his servant to pass on to you and I. So if I've missed one, somebody help me.
You're going quick.
Yeah.
Slow man.
Go ahead. Give him again.
I'll try. The gospel. Have it written down? I might not catch everything he said, but the whole idea in a Bible study, guys, we're not going to give you everything. I want you to go out of here with many questions in your mind. That's what I want you. I want your mind to work. I don't want you to sit here and just take what I'm saying, Brother Chuck's saying, Tony, or Brother John. I want you to think. And I want you to come after and say, hey, what are you guys talking about? Because you guys are very, very smart. Okay, so I want you to think. The first one is the gospel. The second one is the mystery. And open parenthesis and said, the church. Okay, or the assembly. That is the mystery. And if you don't know what that is, come and talk to me after. He spoke about the rapture, the coming of the Lord to take us out of the scene. That's another revelation that was not known before, that was revealed to us. He spoke about the way we do the breaking of the bread in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. At least that's what I quote so far.
Yeah.
So at least you have these written down. And by the way, hey, look into the scripture and find more and come and tell me about it.
So I just want to maybe sort of look at this all as a whole and realize, okay, so as we've come down through this chapter, there's in a sense now Paul is now defending his apostleship from the very beginning. He claimed it. Now he's giving testimony to it. And so we see the testimony of the Apostle Paul in the verses ahead, in his apostolic authority that he has in delivering this to them, because, as we've said, this is by divine revelation. And then Tony has brought us and reminded us of his conversion on the road to Damascus. And so in verse 13, notice here he says, "For ye have heard of my conversation," or my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion. And so this is now before the road to Damascus, before his conversion. What was the manner of life of the Apostle Paul? And he breaks it down there in how that he was persecuting the believers. Anything that had to do with the name of Jesus Christ was hated by Saul. And so now he says, "But you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews religion." And I just want to make this point. This was his manner of life before. And as we've been talking about law and about grace, and we've been talking about the grace that of Christ who gave himself, then he has been now saved out of that. Okay? He has been delivered, the word we had earlier. He had been delivered from that. And he wasn't delivered by it. It wasn't part, the Jews' religion wasn't part of his deliverance. He was delivered by the grace of God, and he was delivered from the Jews' religion. And so notice now how they're trying to bring this religion of the law back into what they had been delivered from. And here Paul is saying, we have been delivered from this, and his manner of life was in it before, but now he's out of it.